this opportunity in this Muharram to reflect ourselves and to transform ourselves and develop a framework spiritually. Mark my words, we have to develop a framework spiritually within ourselves that would allow us to move in a direction of quality improvement in the spiritual framework. You see, we talk about quality improvement and total quality management and performance improvement in our work life, right? We do that. It doesn't matter which business you're in, right? They used to do it even in Africa. They didn't use the buzzwords of quality improvement and total quality management, but that's what they did in their customer service. That's how they did it. We are now using these tools of quality improvement, but we have taken those tools and applied them only to our life in this world. We have not reflected on how those tools that the Prophet has given us can be applied to in our lives so that we can improve in a direction of spirituality. That is what the Prophet has come here to teach us. You see, we have this tendency, and when I say we, I'm actually mostly referring to me. Because if I say I'm talking to you, then you will wear a cap that I was not asking you to wear. Because like I said yesterday, I don't know most of you. So I don't know what you do and what you don't do, but I know what I've done and what I have done in the past. So I'm telling you, you see, we have this tendency that sometimes we reach a stage in our life that we think we know it all. Doesn't matter which field you are in. See, when I became a doctor, and the first year of my internship, I thought I knew it all. You know, because I could go into the emergency room and boom, get somebody right back to life. You know, zap them back to life. If you watch the program ER, right? You will see that there are 3 cardioversions on average per episode. And they all become alive. I wish it was true. But it's not what happens in real life. But at that time, that rush that one gets when they're in the emergency room, when they're dealing with people who are sick, when they put that chest tube in, when they put that tube into the heart, when they put that tube into the lung, you get this thing in your mind. I know it all. And as soon as a human being has that thing in his mind, that I know it all, that is when progress stops. That is when progress stops. The moment you think that, no, I'm the expert in IT, right? If you give me any problem, I'll solve it. That's when progress stops. And it is so well described in the Holy Quran. Hazrat Musa alayhi salam. You see, Hazrat Musa, you know, he's not an ordinary prophet. Hazrat Musa is Ulul Azam, right? And if you look at the Holy Quran, perhaps the one prophet that has been described the most in the Holy Quran is Hazrat Musa. Hazrat Musa, one day, he was sitting, and a thought entered his mind. Just a thought entered his mind. And he said, I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the knowledge that I have. You see, the thought just entered his mind for a second that he was thanking Allah for all the knowledge he had. As soon as that thought entered his mind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Musa, Musa, leave everything and go to this place where 2 rivers meet, and you will meet another person who has more knowledge than you have. And you go and learn from him. This is Surah Al-Kahf. And that person was Jinnat al-Khizr. Musa, Ulul Azam Peygamber. The Peygamber that probably has the most described one in the Holy Quran, has this thought in his head that maybe I have knowledge. I thank Allah because I have the knowledge. And as soon as Allah did not like that, immediately he sends him to this place where he goes to see Jinnat al-Khizr, because Allah says that there is another person who is much more learned than you. And then, you know the story, I don't want to read the story of Surah Al-Kahf, it is a very beautiful story. But Janab al-Khidr says to Musa, that if you want to be my students, my condition is don't ask any questions. Just observe and learn. Don't ask. And there are three different stages that Musa and Khidr go through. And at every stage, Musa cannot hold himself back when he asks the question. And Khidr said, I told you not to ask the question. Oh, sorry. And then the next day, again Musa asked the question. I said, sorry. And then the third, and then when after the third stage, when Musa asked the third question, Khidr says to Musa, I don't want you to be my student. You are not worthy of being my student. Ulul Azam Paygamber. When he has this thought in his mind, he goes to a place where Khidr does not consider him to be worthy of his student. Because Allah wants to show the moment that you think you know it all, progress stops. You have to go through a journey where you continuously want to improve yourself. Continuously want to improve yourself. You see, as I said to you, that a human being, if he takes this concept in his mind, if this psyche comes into him, that I can achieve more, I can improve, right? Then what will happen is that you will go through a journey spiritually where you will try and learn more and more. You see, and that's the important thing when it comes to self-reflection and moving forward spiritually. The capacity of the human being, Islam says clearly, the capacity of the human being is such that he can achieve anything that he wants, provided he has Iman and Taqwa. Iman is very important. First stage. Yesterday we talked, right? First stage was to be a Muslim, Islam. Then Iman. Then Taqwa. And then Yaqeen. And that is the steps that we have to go through. Those are the steps that we have to promote ourselves at each level. When we achieve becoming a Muslim, we have to get the right Iman, then the Taqwa, and then we will get to a stage, inshallah, where we have certitude and Yaqeen. And then everything you do, everything, doesn't matter, from the moment you wake up until the moment you go back to sleep, everything that you do will be for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And nobody can shake you. Nobody in this world can shake you. Can I ask brothers to please come forward a little bit more? I know it, I don't buy it. It's tight. So please come forward. Salatul Muhammad. In Hadith Qudsi, you know what Hadith Qudsi is? From my children. Hadith al-Qudsi is basically Kalam Allah. Hadith al-Qudsi is an authentic book, of course. It is those words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not of any prophet or anything. It's those words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that are not in the Holy Quran. You'll find in Hadith al-Qudsi. In Hadith al-Qudsi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, very authentic book, Kalamullah, remember it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Hadith al-Qudsi says, Yabna Adam, O the progeny of Adam, not Muslim, not Mu'min, Yabna Adam, O the progeny of Adam, Ana Malikun La Azul, I am that king or that lord that never perishes. I am that king, that lord that never perishes. Iza kultu li shay'in kun fayakun. When I say to something be, it becomes. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Yabn Adam, O the progeny of Adam, ati'ni fima amartuk. Worship me in the way that I have asked you to worship me, with Iman. worship me in the way that I have asked you to worship me. Wantahi amma nahaitu, and refrain from all those things that I have forbidden for you. Hatta takula lishayin kun fayakun, so that I can make you such that you say to something be and it becomes. See the capacity of the human being that Islam describes. You can reach that status. You can reach that status. If you have the iman in you, you know the faith and the belief and the reason why you are doing something. And you have that iman and you have the taqwa, you are refraining from those things that are forbidden for you. Then a thought will come into your mind that I want this and it will happen. It is a promise from Allah. Abu Zar, who as you know was a very prominent companion of the Prophet, and Salman al-Fars. And if I ever get time, I'll talk to you about Salman al-Fars. Salman al-Fars, he was the top Sahabi of Rasul. I'm trying to use the language that the kids will understand, right? He was the top, at the top level, right? He was the number one Sahabi of the Prophet. One day, Salman al-Farsi, he invited Abu Zar to his house to eat. So Abu Zar went, and they were sitting down. And Salman al-Farsi was cooking something on a pot. You know, there was fire, and there was a pot. And at that time, the pot, it used to hang, right? It's a little bit like this, it used to hang on some sticks or something. And Salman al-Farsi was cooking something on that pot. The pot was open. And what happened is, as he was cooking and stirring the pot turned upside down, because it was in sort of balancing, right? The pot turned upside down, but none of the contents from the pot went onto the floor. That's pretty cool trick. You know? So Abu Zar got worried. Salman al-Farsi took that pot, he put it back on properly, and he went with his business. He was talking to Abu Zar as if nothing had happened, no big deal. And a few minutes later, again the pot turned upside down, and again nothing spilled on the floor. The pot was open. Nothing spilled on the floor. Abu Zar, Abu Zar looked at this in astonishment. Salman took the pot and put it back properly. When Abu Zar saw this, he got so worried, he ran away from Salman's house. He went directly to the Prophet. And he said, Ya Rasulullah, I was with Salman and I saw this pot went upside down. Nothing spilled. This guy, nothing has happened. It's no big deal. He turns it up again. Again he turns it up. What's the problem here? Rasulullah laughed and smiled at Abu Zar. And he said, this is because of the iman that Salman has in his heart. For when he wants something, it happens. He doesn't have to think. Who was Salman the first? Was he an imam? No, you tell me. He was an imam. Was he a prophet? He had developed a level of iman in his heart. That when he said kun, it became. And that is what we have to strive. We strive for Iman and we strive for Taqwa. And then you reach a stage, inshallah, of Yaqeen. You see, Salat alaykum. These days, you know, if there is a program of Masai, God forbid, somebody, Mufti Sahib, said, oh, we are going to have a program of Masai. Masai. You will see that there will be nobody here. Maybe 5, 10 people will come to Masai. And when you ask somebody, so why are you not coming for Masai? They'll say, you know, if we don't know, then we can plead ignorance. Right? You see, I didn't know, right? So because I didn't know, it can't be haram for me. I didn't know, so it can't be haram for me, because that's what we do. We plead ignorance. We don't want to know. We don't want to find out. Because if somebody, oh, don't tell me, don't tell me. Don't tell me that, you know, if I go here, it's bad. Don't tell me, because I'm going. If you tell me, then I know, then it becomes haram on me. That's the mentality. Right? But this, my friends, it does not apply to us. Because we have the means to gather the knowledge. In this day and age, you cannot plead ignorance. You live in a jungle where there is no communication. Then okay, fine, I may be able to forgive you then. But in this, sitting in Orlando, or in Vancouver, or in the West, where at the tap of a button, you get the whole of the information on the internet. With picking up the phone, you can talk to any ulama you want. With an email, you can ask Ayatollah Sistani whatever masala that you want. In this environment where communication is so easy, you cannot plead ignorance, for in the day of Qiyamah, when you will say that, Bana, I didn't know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, you did not have a means to find out. You were only surfing the net to look at the NFL sites. I don't know about Orlando. In Vancouver, football is not as big, but hockey is really big. The Canucks are a good team, you know. I just went to see them a few days ago. I got really good tickets to the right place. Because our law firm gave me tickets. Right? You ask a person about the game that the Canucks played in 1995 in the Stanley Cup playoff series, the last game, at what overtime, who scored the goal in how many seconds, they know. You ask them, who is the mother of Imam Zainuddin al-Islam, they don't know. It is a question of interest, my friend. So don't tell me that we don't have any way of finding out the Messiah. So pleading ignorance in this day and age is not going to allow us to have salvation on the earth. Mark my words. We have become a community that has basically given reading. We don't read anymore. We don't read. I was telling my friends today, we were meeting. I was telling, you know, how much I appreciate the personalities that influenced me when I was young in Dar es Salaam. People like Malim Najaf, people like Makhum, people like Malim Isa. What they taught us was to read, understand what has been written. If you you look at the Holy Quran, my friends, the Holy Quran, the book that we swear by, the very first word that was revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was Iqra, read. The first order of the prophets was read. Why have we become a community that takes no interest in you? Why? Salat alaykum. Allah. Salat
alaykum.
Our iman has become servant of our limited reason. That's really what it is. You see, subconsciously, I think, this is my analysis, and you can actually throw it in the garbage if you want, if you don't agree with it, but I'm just giving you some thoughts. I told you yesterday that I'm not an alim, so I'm just going to give you thoughts that you can ponder over. But I think that our faith subconsciously has become such that we have started to distinguish between what is seen and what is not seen. That is what has happened. You see, somebody told me once in a Gujarati gathering, somebody said to me, Jannat mein kone jo yuse? Humna bacha tam kariye ne bacha? Kone jo yuse? Te jo yuse? So we have become this community of the seen versus not seen. See, I'll tell you a story. Bahlul Adan. No, Bahlul. Bahlul was one of the Sahabi Ikram of Imam Ja'far Sadiq Salwatu Allah. And he was a Sahabi in the time of Imam Ja'far Sadiq and also Imam Musa Ghazim afterwards. And the tyrant ruler of the Abbasid Caliphate at that time was Harun Rashid. So Bahlul, Bahlul was pretending that he was crazy, right? He was in Taqiyya, right? Because the Shias were getting persecuted so much, so he used to pretend that he was in Taqiyya. So he used to pretend that he was a madman. He was a crazy person, a psychiatric case. So, one day, Bahlul was by the beach. And of course, you know about the beach here more than we do. So he was by the beach and he was making some sand castles. Sand castles. He was making some sand castles from the sand. Right? That's really smart, right? So that's what he was doing. He was making some sand castles from the sand. And Harun Rashid passed by. And Harun Rashid said to Bahlul, Bahlul, what are you doing? He said, I'm making these sand castles. And he said to Harun Rashid, Harun, these are houses and castles that I'm making for the hereafter in Jannat. These will be the castles in Jannat. And I'm selling them. Do you want to buy one? I'm selling them for 10 dinar. So Harun Rashid looked at him. And he said, you are a crazy person, eh? So you really think you can pull one over me here? You are making these sand castles. You think that these are castles that are going to be in Jannah. And you want to sell them for 10 dinar. He said, you think I've lost it? I'm not going to give you 10 dinar for this. He said, oh, you're really a bad person. So he went home. Harun Rashid got home. And as he was relaxing, Harun Rashid's wife came. And so Harun Rashid talked to his wife, hi, how's it going? How are you? You know, everything okay? How's your day, my dear? The type of thing we should also do with our wives. We come home. How's your day, my dear? With muhabbat. Islam says talk to them with muhabbat. Achai kachi. Do with muhabbat. You know, if you talk with muhabbat, the chai will come automatically. So anyway. So these pleasantries were going on between Harun Rashid and his wife. And so Harun Rashid said to her, "So how was your day?" And she said, "You know, I was walking along the beach and I saw Bahlul. And he was making this house." And Harun Rashid said, "Yes, yes, I saw him too." And the wife said that, "Look, and he told me that he was selling this house. This was a house in Jannah. And he was selling them for 10 dinars. So I bought one." So Harun Rashid said, "You women, you bought the house for 10 dinars. He was pulling a wool over you. He's trying to make easy money." And the wife said to Harun Rashid, "Then I just thought maybe, you know, just in case, you know, you never know. Right? And what the hell? I'm a queen, eh? What's 10 dinars for me? Not even a drop in the ocean." Harun Rashid got really upset. And he said that, "This is Asraf. You should not do this." So anyway, they went to sleep that night. And Harun Rashid had a dream. And in the dream, Harun Rashid sees that an angel takes Harun Rashid to Jannah. And Harun Rashid and this angel are walking in Jannah. And they come across this humongous, beautiful castle. And Harun says to the angel, "Who is this castle belong to?" And the angel said, "This castle belongs to your wife. This is the same castle that she bought from Bahlul on that day when he was selling the castle on the beach." And as soon as Harun had that dream, he woke up. Now the next day, Harun, you see, it was only a dream. It was only, you know, I was thinking about this, I got mad at her, so this is my thoughts playing tricks with me. But then he thought to himself, "What is this dream? And it is only 10 dinars, right? It's not a big deal for me. I'm the king." So the next day, he went to the beach, and there was Bahlul, right, making the task. And he says to Bahlul, "Bahlul, what are you doing?" "So I'm making the castles. This castle for Jannah I'm making. You want to buy?" And Harun says, "Yes, today I want to buy." He takes out 10 dinars from his pocket. And Bahlul says, "Harun, today the castle's price is your kingdom." And Harun says to him, "How can it be so? Yesterday you were selling them for 10 dinars." Bahlul says, "Harun, yesterday it was not seen. Today you have seen it. The price has changed." That is the difference, my friends. This is where Iman comes. Iman. The faith is not on something that you can physically see. For you actually cannot see light. The physicists are sitting amongst you. There must be some scientists or physicists. Light cannot be seen. You only see what is reflected by light. Let me just divert this bit to Mukhi, because Mukhi Bhai is sitting with a gun, so I'm going to finish it that. Salawat wa lam Islam. Our topic was here. I said yesterday, for those who are not here, that I digressing because I was told to recite some important, and there's a seniors here as well who don't understand English all the time. So I'm going to digress in Urdu in the middle, and then I come back to English. Because if I just do Urdu first and then English later, then the English speaking people who don't understand Urdu, they all just leave. Right? And today one of the brothers said to me, "You know, Dr. Saab, you can recite Majlis for 2 hours. If you want, for 3 hours. But after 1 hour, we are going to leave." You know, so I have to be cognizant of that. Islam ki dusri jang. Topic wahi hai, iman. Islam ki dusri jang, jang hai, ahad. Ye wo jang hai, ke Rasool ne hukum diya. Rasool ne hukum diya ke yahan se hatna nahi. Sahi baat hai. Rasool ka hukum hai ki ab yahan se mat hatna, लेकिन हुआ ये कि जब लोगों ने माल गनीमत को देखा तो जो दुनिया की लालच जो थी दिल में वो उभर आई। सही बात है। और वहां से लोग चले माल गनीमत को लेने के लिए। लोग चले तो दुश्मनों ने पीछे से हमला किया और रसूलुल्लाह सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम रसूल जंग उहद में जख्मी हुए और रसूल के दंदान मुबारक में शहीद हुए। जंग उहद रसूल जख्मी हुए। और मेरा मतलब उहद पढ़ना नहीं है, मुझे सिर्फ मेरा पॉइंट है। रसूल जख्मी हुए जंग उहद। अब रसूल जख्मी है जमीन। रसूल ने एक कोने से देखा कि मैदान छोड़ के सब भाग चुके, मैदान छोड़ के सब भाग चुके हैं, लेकिन देखा कि एक कोने में एक जंग हो रही, कोई है जो जंग कर रहा है एक कोने। फौरन रसूल के दिल में ख्याल आया कि ये कोई पराया नहीं, अपना लग रहा, अपना लग रहा। अब अली इब्न अबी तालिब सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वसल्लम की परेशानी को आप देखें, मुलाहिज़ा फरमाएं इसकी परेशानी को। अली इब्न अबी तालिब जंग कर रहे हैं शख्स के साथ, अली जंग कर रहे हैं तलवार से, जंग कर रहे हैं, अब जंग कर रहे हैं, तलवार टेढ़ी हो जाती है, अली घोड़े से नीचे आते हैं, घुटनों के बल तलवार को सीधी करते हैं, वापस जंग कर रहे हैं, वापस तलवार टेढ़ी हो जाती है, वापस अली घोड़े से नीचे आते हैं, घुटनों के बल तलवार को सीधी करते हैं, वापस जंग करते हैं। ये अली की परेशानी है। अब अल्लाह से ये रहा ना गया, हुआ क्या, कुरान में आया, कुरान फरमाता है वअंजलनाहुल हदीदा, हमने लोहे को नाजिल किया, नाजिल किया। नहीं समझे, आप समझे ही नहीं किबला, आप समझ गए, लोहा नाजिल किया। लोहा नाजिल होता है, लोहा कहां से आता है? लोहा जमीन से आता है, लेकिन अल्लाह ने ये नहीं किया कि ये नहीं कहा कि मैंने जमीन से लोहा दिया, अल्लाह ने कहा मैंने लोहे को नाजिल किया। इन्ना अंजलनाहु फी लैलतिल कद्र, अल्लाह कहता है कि मैंने कुरान को नाजिल किया जिस जगह से कुरान आया वही जगह से ज़ुल्फ़िकार
आया।
अब जिब्राइल ज़ुल्फ़िकार को लेके अली के पास आते, ज़ुल्फ़िकार को लेके अली के पास आते। एक मरतबा जब अली के हाथ में ज़ुल्फ़िकार आ गई तो वो शख्स जिसके साथ अली जंग कर रहे थे वो घबरा गया, वो शख्स घबरा गया। एक तो ये है हैदर कर रहा और इसके हाथ में आ गई है ज़ुल्फ़िकार, मैं तो गया, राइट, तो वो घबरा गया। अब वो शख्स अली इब्न अबी तालिब को कहता है कि या अली, मैंने सुना था कि अली बहुत बड़ा बहादुर है, वो मैंने आज देख लिया, लेकिन या अली मैंने यह भी सुना था कि जिस पाए का बहादुर अली इब्न अबी तालिब है उसी पाए का सखी भी है। तो अली इब्न अबी तालिब वो शख्स के सामने देख के मुस्कुराए। उस शख्स ने कहा, वो शख्स कहता है कि या अली मैं देखना चाहता हूं कि आप कितने बड़े सखी हैं। अब इमाम का इम्तिहान हो रहा है। इमाम ने एक मरतबा कहा कि बोल क्या चाहते हो। वो शख्स कहता है मुझे ये ज़ुल्फ़िकार दे। अभी जो तलवार तौहीद से आई है वो मांग रहा है वो शख्स। सखावत अली इब्न अबी तालिब को आप देखें, इस अंदाज से उस काफिर को अली ने तलवार दी है कि वो कुफर कट गया, काफिर बच गया, कुफर कट गया, काफिर बच गया। फौरन जाके कदमों में अली इब्न अबी तालिब के कदमों में गिर के कहता है कि या अली, मैं चाहता हूं कि फौरन मुसलमान बन जाओ, फौरन मुसलमान बन जाओ। मैंने ये सुना है कि आपने खुद कहा है कि मैं मोहम्मद के गुलामों में से एक गुलाम हूं, बस मैं चाहता हूं कि मुझे उस अली के आका से मिला दो कि जिस आका, जिस अली का जिस आका का ऐसा अली है, उस अली का आका कैसा है। अब अली आते रसूल की मदद करने के लिए, अली इब्न अबी तालिब रसूल की मदद करने के लिए आते हैं। अब जब अली मदद करने के लिए आए हैं रसूल, तो अकेले नहीं आए, एक नए मुस्लिम के साथ, क्या बात, एक नए मुसलमान को साथ लेके अली इब्न तालिब रसूलुल्लाह के पास आए हैं। देखा रसूलुल्लाह जख्मी, रसूलुल्लाह जख्मी है। एक मरतबा अली ने रसूल को आगोश किया, अब रसूल ने अली के सामने देखा और अच्छी जुमला कहा रसूल। रसूल ने अली को देख के कहा, या अली सब मैदान छोड़ के भाग गए, तुम नहीं गए, क्या सवाल किया है रसूल, अली तुम नहीं गए। अब देखो, अगर मैं होता ना, मैं होता तो पता नहीं होता के पास गया होता, लेकिन अगर मैं होता तो मैं क्या करता, या तो मैं रसूल पे अपना एहसान रखता, सही बात है, मैं क्या कहता कि भाई मैं आपको छोड़ के जा सकता हूँ या रसूल, मैं आपको छोड़ के जा सकता हूँ, भला मैं आपको आपको छोड़ के जा सकता, मैं ऐसा कहता, या तो मैं मेरी बड़ाई हाँकता कि भाई मैं बहुत बहादुर हूं, मैं क्यों जाऊं, सबको मार डालूंगा, नहीं ये दो चीजों में एक करता ना, तो मैं तो कहता हूं या अली आप शहर खुदा है, आप रसूल को कह दो कि मैं शहर खुदा हूं, मैं भाग के कैसे जा सकता हूं। लेकिन क्या कहा अली इब्न अबी तालिब, एक अजीब जुमला कहा है अली इब्न अबी तालिब ने, अली इब्न अबी तालिब कहते हैं रसूल को, या रसूलुल्लाह, क्या मैं ईमान लाने के बाद काफिर बन जाऊं, यह है डेफिनेशन ईमान का फ्रॉम अली इब्न अबी तालिब, कि रसूल के नक्शे कदम पर चलने, हर वक्त चलना, हर वक्त रसूल के साथ रहना, यह ईमान है। रसूल को छोड़ के सकीफा में जाना, यह अहद में डेफिनेशन दे दिया अली इब्न अबी तालिब, ईमान किसको कहते हैं और कुफर किसको कहते हैं। मैं यही कहता हूं कि लोग हमें कहते हैं कि देखो हम हमारे साथ बहस करते कि भाई पहले ईमान कौन लाए, बाद में ईमान कौन लाए, सबसे पहले ईमान कौन लाए, औरतों में पहले ईमान कौन लाए, मर्दों में पहले ईमान कौन लाए, बच्चों में पहले ईमान कौन लाए, ये है ना जाहिलाना बहस है, हमें इस बहस में पढ़ना है भाई, हु केयर्स पहले ईमान कौन लाया कि बाद में ईमान कौन लाया कि उसके बाद ईमान कौन लाया, हमें कोई फर्क ही नहीं पड़ता है भाई, तुम्हें जो चाहे बोल, हम ये जानना चाहते हैं कि ईमान लाने के बाद ईमान पे कौन बाकी रहा और कुफर में कौन चला, ये हमें चाहिए। एंड दिस इज द डेफिनेशन ऑफ ईमान, दैट इज the definition, it is walking in the steps of the Prophet Hazrat Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Remember, there is no taqleed in usuluddin. I told you this yesterday. People always quote this ayat that like raha fi din. Quran says, you know, like raha fi din, no compulsion in religion. Can't make me do anything. La ikraha fid din. La ikraha fid din is before you become a Muslim. When you are not a Muslim, it is la ikraha fid din. There is no compulsion in religion. But once you become a Muslim, then it is obligatory on you to develop iman and faith. And after faith, there is obedience. Otherwise, you don't have to enter Islam. There is life after, but it's before you become a Muslim. And the confusion sets in. The confusion sets in when we ask people and ourselves to carry out actions that is devoid of iman. That is when the confusion sets in. People don't understand it. You can't reconcile because there is no iman. So it becomes a rasm, a ritual that has no meaning because there is no faith. Then it becomes a drag. It's boring. That's our attitude. Namaz has become a burden on us. Why? Because there is no iman. If there was iman, then there would be pleasure in doing namaz. For it is a communication with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Muharram, I remember in Dar Islam, to do Zanjir Matam. And I know that in Zanjir, if inshallah I get time, 1 month, I'll do on Azadari. Because Azadari is very important. So I'm not against Zanjir. But I used to do Zanjir Matam. But there were some of us in Zanjir Matam, we used to wear white shirts. Stop that. I'm going there. Zanjir Matam. And then we used to say, we used to recite namaz with that white bloody shirt. And some old men would come to us and say, Papa, you cannot recite namaz in this, it's najis. No, no, this is blood of Imam Hussein, eh? He's bad. We have concocted a religion that is devoid of imam. It has become a rasam. On, you know, I don't know, in Orlando, you know, you are blessed, eh? You have alhamdulillah good weather, you have Disney there, Disney World, Airport Center, MGM, Universal. I was looking in my hotel today, all these guys were beautiful. SeaWorld. I must bring my daughter here. Over in Vancouver and Toronto and other places, you see, we look for when we have to go to holidays, you know. We don't have this beautiful weather, like minus 40 in Toronto. So we go to Hawaii and we go to the Caribbean and we go to cruises. And we go to wonderful holidays. But when somebody says, Papa, wajib haj ke liye sab kuch paisa. No, no, I have not got money yet because, you see, wajib haj, I still have to pay my mortgage, I have all the cars, I have to do all of this. Hawaii I can go, but wajib haj, no! The same person who says, today I will do niyaz of Imam Hussein. Today, I can make a passionate speech about niyaz of Imam Hussein and niyaz of Astabas, and people will say, Arya Paisa, niyaz was there. They will give money for niyaz, but they have not paid homes. What use is that charity where that money is in najis? I was asked a really interesting question once. Somebody came to me and said, upside, you know, is it okay if we watch pornography when Quran is in the same room? Oh, Lord. And I said, excuse me? No, no, you know, we have this, you know, this program, it's a good program, you know. A little bit of nudity is there, you know. And Quran is in the same room because on the wall we have Ayatul Kursi. It's richer in our living room. Ayatul Kursi is there. So can we watch Quran? Can we watch this pornography program on TV when Quran is in the same living room? That's an absurd question. There is no iman. What kind of a question are you asking me? It's okay to watch pornography if there is no Quran in the room? So maybe we can just, you know, for that 1 hour turn that I took with you back. You know, when you, I don't know about in America, in Canada, now if you have the channel, it's the best exercise you see, it's remote control. If you have, we have this channel, you know, in the bottom of the channel, it tells you whether the program is, you know, parental guidance or restricted or 18 plus, right? So I was flipping channels. It's a good pastor. Flipping channels, you know, one day. And I came across a program. And in the bottom, it said 18 plus. And I saw it was a cartoon. So I said, well, this must be a mistake. How can a cartoon be 18 plus? But when I saw that cartoon for 2 or 3 minutes, brother, it was 18 plus. Do we know what our children are watching? Do you know the message that Bart Simpson gives to your child? Do you know the message that Jerry Seinfeld gives to your child? Do you know? The message is un-Islamic. It is brainwashing. Brainwashing. Got things to do, places to be, people to see. Life. We have invested, my brothers, in life in this world, but we have not considered the life in the next world. And this is the message that Imam Hussein alayhi salam was trying to do. Imam's mission was to save Islam through Amr bil Ma'ruf and Nahi. That was his message. Azadaro, Walid said, Bayat ki inkar karne ke baad, Imam alayhi salam ek martaba jab wapas aaye, to apne gharwalon ko kaha, apne rishtedaron ko kaha, ki ab chalo, ab yahan se jaane ka waqt aa gaya. Imam alayhi salam ne अपने घर वालों को इकट्ठा किया और इमाम ने कहा बस अब वक्त आ गया है कि हम मदीना छोड़ते चलें। एक मर्तबा इमाम कब्रे रसूल पे आते हैं, कब्रे रसूल पे बैठ के इमाम ने कब्रे रसूल से उसके पूछा, नाना जान ये हुसैन अब जा रहा और मदीने से जा रहा है, वापस नहीं आएगा नाना जान। करबला में हुसैन अपना घर सब कुछ हिसाब। उसके बाद मौर्रिक लिखते हैं कि हुसैन जब माँ की कब्र पे आए, जनाबे पाक ज़हरा की कब्र, मौर्रिक लिखते हैं कि हुसैन इतना रोए है माँ की और माँ से फरियाद की है, अम्मा अब ये हुसैन मदीना छोड़ के जा रहा है। कि एक मर्तबा मुअर्रिख लिखते हैं कि कब्र से आवाज आई, बेटा हुसैन जा, करबला की तरफ जा। और ये न समझ कि तेरी माँ तेरे साथ नहीं होगी, हर मरहले पे फातिमा तेरे साथ। अज़ादारों, हुसैन ने अब्बास को कहा, अब्बास मदीने से जाने के लिए तैयारी करो और एक फहरिस्त बनाओ, एक लिस्ट बनाओ, और लिस्ट में उन लोगों का नाम रखो जो हमारे साथ मदीने से निकलेंगे। अब्बास ने लिस्ट बनाया, नाम बनाया। जब नाम खत्म हुए तो एक मर्तबा अब्बास ने फहरिस्त इमाम हुसैन को दिया। हुसैन ने जब देखा तो देखा कि सुगरा का नाम फहरिस्त में मौजूद है। जब सुगरा का नाम देखा तो एक मर्तबा हुसैन ने कहा, अब्बास ये नाम फहरिस्त से निकाल दो। जब सुगरा को यह पता चला कि इमाम हुसैन ने नाम निकाल दिया है, वो सुगरा घबरा गई। एक मर्तबा अली अकबर के पास आके कहती है, भैया
अकबर, बाबा ने मेरा नाम तेरे से निकाल दिया। मैं चाहती हूँ आप मेरी तरफ से सिफारिश करें, एक मरतबा अकबर हुसैन के पास आए, कहा बाबा जान सुगरा मेरी चहेती बहन है, आपने उसका नाम फिर से क्यों निकाल दिया। एक मरतबा हुसैन ने कहा अकबर अकबर सुगरा हम शक्ले फातिमा है, ये हुसैन नहीं चाहता कि शबी है फातिमा, बे चादर बे पर्दा कूफे और शाम शराबियों के बाजार में फिराई जाए। ये सुनना था अली अकबर ने कहा सुगरा अब मैं कुछ नहीं कर सकता। एक मरतबा सुगरा ने हुसैन से कहा बाबा जान अगर मैं नहीं आ सकती तो ये असगर को दे दो, मैं असगर का ख्याल रखूंगी, मेरा भाई मेरे साथ होगा तो ये बहन को तसल्ली हो जाएगी। एक मतलब जब हुसैन ने जब सुगरा ने अली असगर को अपनी आगोश में लिया है, बहन से लिपट गया छोटा सा असगर। अब कोई भी कोशिश कर रहा है कि असगर को अपने साथ ले ले, लेकिन असगर देखता नहीं। अब्बास हुसैन के पास आके कहते असगर असगर सुगरा की गोद को नहीं छोड़ रहा। एक मर्तबा हुसैन आगे बढ़े, असगर के कानों में कुछ कहा, मुअर्रिख नहीं लिखते कि हुसैन ने असगर को क्या कहा, लेकिन हाँ आशूर के दिन शायद ये हमें पता चला कि हुसैन ने झुक के असगर को कहा होगा कि असगर क्या उर्मला के तीर से डर गए, अरे असगर तेरे बगैर हमारा मिशन कम हो जाएगा, तेरे बगैर इस्लाम पता नहीं हो सकता। आजादार हो असगर हुसैन के पास लौट के आ गया। अब ये काफिला जा रहा है, आखिरी मसायब पर रहा हूँ। अजादारो उम्मुल बनीन खड़ी होती है, एक मर्तबा हुसैन के पास आके उम्मुल बनीन ने कहा आका मैं चाहती हूँ कि अब्बास के साथ अकेले में कुछ गुफ्तगू कर सकूं, क्या आप इजाजत दें। आप इजाजत देते हैं। एक मर्तबा हुसैन ने कहा हाँ अम्मा अगर अब्बास के साथ बातें करनी है तो मुझे कोई तकलीफ नहीं। एक मर्तबा अब्बुल मनी ने अब्बास का हाथ लिया, अब्बास को कहा बैठ जा अब्बास चलो मेरे साथ। उम्मुल बनीन अब्बास को लेके कब्रे रसूल पे आई, अब्बास को कहा अब्बास बैठ जाओ, अब्बास कब्रे रसूल पे बैठ गए। अब अब्बास को कहा अब्बास अब एक हाथ कब्रे रसूल पे रखो, अब्बास ने एक हाथ कब्रे रसूल पे रखा। अब अगर उम्मुल बनीन कहती अब्बास अब दूसरा हाथ अपनी माँ के सर पे रखो, अब्बास ने दूसरा हाथ उम्मुल बनीन के सर पे रखा। अब उम्मुल बनीन ने कहा बेटा अब्बास अब मुझे ये वादा करो कि ये तुम्हारे हाथ सिर्फ उस दिन तक सलामत रहेंगे कि जब तक ज़ैनब के सर पे चादर रहेगी। अब्बास ये मां नहीं चाहती कि ये सुने कि ज़ैनब बेपर्दा हो गई और अब्बास तेरे हाथ सलामत।
Yeah. कसम मत हर सरकार रिसाल